This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Monday morning here in Kansas City, it's beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful sunrise, beautiful weather. It's an easier way to start your week on a Monday, and we couldn't have figured out any other way to do that than to get you some Vern in your life, which is Vern live in Arizona. Spring training coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Park & Go, KC's premier airport parking destination.
They're the best, man. Got back yesterday, was landed and home in less than an hour because of Park & Go.
I'll tell you something about Park & Go, man. You can get a GYX banana and get there right in split time.
Best. You show up, they get you right to the airport. It's the best. Use Park & Go.
Vern, how's Arizona treating you, my man?
It's very nice. A few things, though. Okay. I did not appreciate the transition to break a few moments ago, because if I was a listener, I would infer that Vern is a booger picker, booger eater, whatever you were saying about that.
No, I'd have called you out. You know that.
Secondly, okay, that's fair. Secondly, Bob, that story made me nauseous.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't imagine. And how was the flight back on the PJ, Bob, the private jet?
It was wonderful.
You're just jet-setting all over this country.
Huh? Yeah, it was fantastic, man. It was awesome. I thank the White Sox providing me a private jet to get out there
sure.
with. So it was awesome,
sure.
Yeah.
Well, they're not spent. Well. No, they spent a lot on Benny, and boy, that has not paid off.
Not good. Not good for Benny. He's out till probably at least opening day. But $75 million for Andrew Benintendi.
Woof.
Saturday,
Benny and a jet is what they
spent exactly
money.
Right. You were there, obviously. Saturday, I was there. Saturday, Cole Reagan's not so great. I know it's spring training. Any takeaway from that at all, or like, what do you do with that?
No, and that was the windiest day I think I've been a part of out here in the valley. I think the four runs that he gave up in the first inning, both of those home runs were just get it up in the air, and the jet stream's going to carry it over the wall. No, nothing really to worry about with. You know, a guy like Reagan's, Lugo, Waka, Salvi, Bobby, Vinny, Jonathan India, to me, those seven, you could throw a Carlos Estevez, who threw a bullpen yesterday. We're excited to see him get into a Cactus League game. You know, those veterans that have put up the numbers, that have the back of the baseball card already, you know, a few spots where there's some black ink where they've led the league. Those guys know what they're doing. As you know, Bob, just getting our work in, just getting ready for the season.
Yes.
So not worried really at all about Cole Reagan's or this rotation. 1-5, Chris Bubich looking really good in his first two outings. Michael Lorenzen scheduled to climb the hill in a Cactus League action, a Cactus League game for the first time coming up on Wednesday.
Vern, want to dive into what was one of the issues in the regular season last year that was addressed in the offseason with the trade of Brady Singer for Jonathan India. Going to be the leadoff guy? Has he shown kind of like some trust? I know we're still 23 days away from the big day, but like that's the guy, right? Like that's the guy that's going to hit one and Bobby's going to hit two
every
behind
day.
Him. Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah. Followed by Vinny and Salvi. That 1-4 is hopefully going to be together for 155 of the 162 games. A few things about India. First of all, the way that he is meshed with this team, boy, you would think that he was a part of that run last season. You would think that he came up with these guys the way that, you know, they're already cutting it up in the clubhouse, the way that they're hanging out after games. A lot of that, again, due to that crew last year, the Will Smith, Adam Frazier, Chris Stratton, even the message that was sent last week by James Shields to this bunch about truly investing in your teammates, right? Giving a blank about their lives, about their family, making sure when you see something spectacular from Salvi or Bobby, don't keep it to yourself. Go up to him and tell him, man, I've never seen a player as good as you. The colorful speech that James Shields imparted on this team, I think really resonated and will only help further create that bond that's going to help carry him over the course of the next 6 months. And then, yeah, at the plates, the plate appearances that Jonathan India has been able to showcase out here in Arizona are exactly what you would want to see. Working the count, drawing a walk here and there, but also just pretty consistently getting on base. A lot more hits than walks, and I'll certainly take that. With Bobby Witt Jr. hitting behind him. But yeah, Jonathan India, Salvi, Vinny, and Bobby, those are the four guys that you can pencil in the lineup just about every single day. You know, Freddie Fermin's the backup catcher, but to me, I put him in that same breath of this guy understands what he needs to do to get ready for the regular season, and he's going to be one of the key cogs. Mm-hmm. The question is who's going to be that 5-6? Can you lengthen that lineup? Because last year, it was three guys doing all the damage. You feel pretty confident about the top four this year. But if you're going to make noise in the division, and certainly if you're going to make noise in October, a Michael Massey, an MJ Melendez, a Mikel Garcia, Hunter Renfro, two of those four, you would think, are going to need rather consistent seasons, or at least more consistent than what we saw a season ago.
Who would you bank on that guy being the most consistent? I heard things back in January and early February about MJ, like, just really, like, smoking the ball, for lack of a better term, in some winter ball stuff that he, not winter ball, but winter practice or however you want to call it. Like, somebody from another organization is like, oh my God, MJ looks really, really good. So what do you think?
Yeah, I could be swayed to say MJ Melendez, especially when you look at what he's done in the second half of 2024 and 2023. Michael Massey hasn't put it together for that extended period of consistent time the way that MJ has, but I think Massey is my answer. You know, moonlighting in left field could do wonders for him health-wise, right? Being in left field, not fielding as many grounders, not having to get into that infielder stance before every single pitch, getting in that, kind of bent at the waist, infield stance, ready for the ground ball, that's what aggravates the back of Michael Massey more than anything else. So you bump him out there in left field, he's standing up, he's not bent at the waist, ready for to reach down and field a ground ball. You could see Michael Massey out there consistently for the next 6 months. And shoot, you saw what he did in September and into October, especially in the postseason. He's not afraid of the big moment. The bat can do a little bit of everything as far as getting on base, hitting for average, and we know he has some pop. So I'll go with Michael Massey. That'll be my choice, at least until Dusty's boy Jack Caglione gets to town.
Oh, boy, I tell you, I was talking to a rival scout, Vern, over the weekend. I'll say with the Mariners. I don't care who I tell what. And they're like, I said, what do you think of Cags? And he goes, I don't know if he can pitch, but boy, can he hit. And I mean, hearing opposing people say things about your guy is always awesome to me.
Yeah, and him and Bobby Witt, watching Bobby hit the ball, it's different. I mean, Bob, at the game that you were at, he smoked one 111 miles per hour right back up the gut. Cags has that kind of consistent power and has power to all fields. Yeah, there's no – look, is it disappointing that the Royals weren't able to get the Jurickson Profar or the Anthony Santander? Yeah, to a certain extent, although if you were able to ink one of those guys and were showing up to spring training in 2026, suddenly we're looking at Jack Caglione going, I think I'd rather see him than Santander for $22 million this year. So while it's disappointing for 2025, I talk about that five-hitter hitting behind Salvador Perez. We know that's Caglione. I expect it to be opening day of 2026, but when you have that kind of all-world talent, as Dayton was one to say, I'm not going to put a ceiling on this guy. There's no reason to believe that. If if he gets red hot in AA and cruises through AAA, maybe we see him at the end of the season. But certainly something to get excited for. The Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, India, Caglione 1-5. That's going to be as intimidating as any 1-5 in this division.
Let's say that my wish does come true and he is on this roster before the end of the year, like midseason, but it's not because Vinny Pasquantino gets an injury. It's more so because somebody's leash is shorter than the others. Is it Renfro or Melendez who has a longer leash?
Well, he hasn't even been in the outfield yet. But, okay, to answer your question, I would say that, and you can get out of the Renfro contract, I would say MJ has the longer leash. He's more of an athlete. I think he can go get it in the outfield more so than a Hunter Renfro can. And I think, you know, you could move a Hunter Renfro. That's an expiring contract. You could also DFA him if he stinks. Mm-hmm. I don't see that happening. By the way, Renfro, one of the submissions for best shape of his life. Looks like he's dropped at least, you know, 10 to 15 pounds. He just had his junior last week, was able to get back and be there for the birth of his son. But to answer your question, I would say that MJ has a longer leash than Renfro.
One of the other things too, Vern, that I heard over the weekend from somebody with the organization was the Jonathan India thing is nice, but it's created so much good depth now on this roster. Like, you don't have the Jason Fraziers of the world and whatnot, or whatever that guy's name was, like backing up. Like you've created
Adam.
Depth. Yeah, Adam. By just adding Jonathan India, you've created depth, and now the potential of maybe Garcia getting a little work in center field as well. How much better is like the bottom half for the roster because of the addition of Jonathan India now?
Yeah, I think they're better protected for the offensive slump of fill in the blank.
Right.
Dusty asks about the leash of this guy, the leash of MJ. To me, they're protected if Michael or MJ or Massey or Renfro or Isbell stink offensively, to where it's a month and they're still hitting below the Mendoza line. They're better protected because, you know, if Michael Garcia is not getting it done, well, then Jonathan India is your third baseman and Michael Massey goes to second base, and you have corner outfielders of MJ Melendez and Hunter Renfro. If Renfro stinks, you bump MJ over to right. You could put Massey at left, Garcia's at third, and Jonathan India's at second base. They're not so beholden to Melendez, Massey. The best way to look at this is now year three of J.J. Piccolo. Year one was the evaluation season where if you're a Royal, we're giving you a chance and we're going to keep running you out there. 2024, what MJ did in the second half of 23, what Velasquez did in the second half of 2023, that earned him a spot on the opening day roster for 2024. Hunter Renfro's contract guaranteed him at-bats for 2024. Well, now we show up to 2024. 25 with a wild card berth and a trip to the ALDS in their back pocket, and nothing outside of those names I gave you earlier of Bobby, India, Vinny, and Salvi, along with Freddie Fermin, nothing is given. You're going to have to earn it with your bat. That's how you put the lineup together. You know, you put the hot bats in the lineup, and then you, okay, if no one's jumping out in center field, of course we want to have Kyle Isbell out there for the best defense. I think the addition of Jonathan India just better protects this team from the possible skids that could come from your young corner infielders and your corner outfielders.
Vern, you got 3 days, but the hot stove, Thursday night, 6 o'clock, anything coming up, or are you still working on that together?
There's quite a few. Sam Long has a pretty interesting story, a reliever that broke out over the course of last season. And I'm really interested in finding out what this pitching department looks like from the outside. Sam Long was a free agent signing, a minor league invite last year, had a lot of different options, a lot of teams that he could have gone to, but he chose Kansas City because of the pitch from Paul Gibson and Brian Sweeney in this pitching department. The Royals are starting to win a lot more ties. Look at Carlos Estevez. The Royals, sure, they paid him, but he had other offers. He could have gone elsewhere, but he came to Kansas City because he believes this pitching staff, these coaches, can unlock something and make him even better. And if you were a Royals fan 10 years ago, you weren't winning those type of ties. Now you are.
Mm-hmm. Just like a lot of people are ready to listen to you talk about the Royals live in spring training. Vern, continue doing the good work that you're doing, and enjoy your time in Arizona. We'll have a pretty big baseball game here in about 23 days.
Hell
in Kansas City.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Josh Furnier there again. Don't forget his hot stove, 6 o'clock Thursday night. Sam Long's story in the mix for you that you'll want to listen to in spring training coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Park & Go, KC's premier airport parking destination. So the leash question gets answered. That's all I wanted. Coming up on the other side, we'll dive more into what the dominoes of the NFL are falling, because also there was other things that happened this weekend that I thought was pretty interesting because, well, heel turns and faces. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. I want to get into that on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, you know who's in second place in the West in the NBA?
Who?
LeBron James and Luka Doncic.
What?
You know who's in first place in the East?
Cleveland.
Yes.
So what you're saying is there's a possibility we see LeBron versus the Cavs?
You want to see LeBron versus the Cavs or LeBron versus Celtics? So
Cavs.
You have the Lakers-Celtics.
Cavs.
Ooh, Lakers-Celtics sells.
I don't know, man.
That's Yankees-Dodgers.
Yeah, it does. But, man, going back against your old team, like, that's got a great storylines.
So I want to bring this up real quick because it's my quick NBA minute. Again, stolen from Carrington. Does he still do that?
Oh, God, we used to do that 25 years ago, too. Yeah.
No, this is so LeBron James, when he won the MVP in 2012 and 2013. You ready for this? He averaged 26.8, 51% from the field, 35% from three, 7.5 rebounds, 7.4 assists. This is LeBron James since turning 40. 26.5, 55% from the field, 43% from three, 8.3 on rebounds, 8.1
assists. So he's got better with age. He's like a fine wine,
and
aging gracefully,
what the
right?
Graphic says, like fine
oh,
wine.
Oh, does it? Yeah, well, that's, I mean, right. What else are you going to compare it to? Scotch? Whiskey, I guess you could. Maybe
Scotch
a nice Anejo. I mean, I don't know. Like
Scotch is tough.
He's a huge wine guy, so it makes sense.
Are you a Scotch drinker?
No.
Mac, do you know Scotch?
I had Scotch over the weekend, yeah.
I will appreciate it. But I'm not, like, it's probably the fourth spirit that I'd order.
I don't even know that it'd be in my, like.
I'd probably go bourbon, tequila, gin. Then at that point, it's like, what do you got on tap? Like,
yeah, you're not a vodka guy.
Not really. I mean, I do. Gin's really started to come into my life more and more as
gin
I get older.
Gin is the new, like, spirit that's having the renaissance now. It was, like, bourbons and whiskeys, and then it was the tequilas and the mezcals.
Tequila's at the top right now. Like, everybody jumped off bourbon and went into tequila.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the way it'll go.
There's so much good tequila out there, and it is just, I mean, I know everybody has the, prairie fires and all that kind of stuff when we were in college, which, if you don't know, I think we called them prairie fires back then. It was shot of, like, Cuervo and Tabasco. Ugh, like awful, right? Awful.
That was my shot that my buddy bought me my 21st birthday. Was a tequila shot with Tabasco sauce heated up in a microwave.
Oh my,
brutal, dude.
Like, I just want to puke thinking about that. Like,
brutal.
that's the
talk
worst,
about
right?
Immediate acid reflex. Like, I was like, not even that.
It's just, I just want to puke and throw up everything that's in my stomach. And yeah, I haven't eaten anything since popcorn at 6 o'clock last night. And so it's,
the three toughest shots I've had in my life. That's number two. Number three was a minnow shot at Dick's halfway in at Lake of the Ozarks.
Mm-hmm.
And number one was the three Wiseman shot.
No, the three Wiseman is the worst. I was going to bring that one up. Oh, my God.
You've heard of that one, Mac?
I don't think so.
Jack, Jim, Jose, all mixed together.
All mixed together.
No.
It's terrible.
Oh, dude.
The three Wiseman.
Look how sheltered this boy is, man.
I thought you were a growing boy. He's drinking scotch.
What kind of scotch were you drinking?
I'd have to ask my uncle. It was nice stuff.
It was.
That's all
okay.
He does.
So
yeah.
It was Glenfiddich, Glenlivet, or Johnny
Blue
or Black.
He might be listening right now, but I'll ask him.
The only scotch I've ever had, really, was the Blue Label at my sister's wedding. My brother-in-law, after the wedding, bought everybody a shot of that. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is okay. And then you get stuff that's cheaper, and you're like, oh, my God. This
sure.
is just like
yeah.
gasoline.
Well, you get, like, blended scotch, so it's made from different barrels all poured into one, and then anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Glenfiddich, like, 15's not bad.
It's just never something I've just decided I want to drink. But, I mean, like, the tequilas and the mezcals now and all this. I mean, it is a hot,
well, a
hot
scotch
market.
You normally drink neat. You don't have anything with it. Whereas tequila, you can put a cube in there, mm-hmm. squeeze a little bit of lime, let it sweat, and you're like, this is like a a nice, healthy margarita.
Yeah, a buddy of mine was drinking some of that over the weekend when we were out in Arizona in a coffee cup. He comes out with this tequila. I'm like, what are you drinking? He's like, I've got like Three Amigos, maybe it was called, or something like
that. Amigos?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't Clase Azul. It was something like a $50 bottle. And I'm like, damn, that's really good. And like, it's you could find. Either. No, I didn't think that was. No, not at all.
You talked about Clase Azul. That's $167 a bottle.
And that's the low end stuff, right? Like, that's
MSRP.
But then you go to the Clase Azul website. Do yourself a favor if you want to. They're like $6,000 bottles of tequila and mezcal.
Buy them for
like
the bottle,
that.
Not the juice.
Yeah. And that's what people will say. You're buying it for the bottle, and you can get basically the same quality and something else that's like, you know, a third of the price of what, you know, they're trying to push out there for you. But I'll experiment with all sorts of tequilas now. I think they're really, really good. It's so much different than when we were kids and drinking that crap.
Yeah, my buddy who owns Red Door Wine Store, we had a poker game on Saturday night at my house, and he brought over a little vial of tequila that a guest gave him. Like a lady, I don't know what it was, but she had the label of the tequila on the bottle. It was just like in this little tiny bottle. It was like a, you know, 3 ounce pour, 2 ounce pour. He's like, yeah, she said it was special. I haven't really looked it up yet. Looks it up. It's like $300 a bottle.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, what are you doing drinking that here? He goes, I didn't know it was that much.
Yeah.
So he saved half. And I was like, yeah, go put that away for like a big night at the store or something like that. But
yeah, because that's the thing. Like, you're rationing that because you're saving it for a good occasion. When does that good occasion come where you're like, all right, time to bust into this tequila?
Yeah, I forget what it was like.
Just go to Cactus and get some of their tequilas. They got a lot of good ones out there, too.
So I want to bring this up because Saturday night was, I know you guys don't watch, and I watch basically like the highlights of it at this point in my life. But it's over the weekend, there was a pay-per-view, or not a pay-per-view, but a elimination chamber is what the WWE calls it. And the reason I bring this up is not to have a WWE conversation because someone's already pissed. Is this the radio show or what we did over the weekend show?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sorry. But no, so over the weekend...
Turn it off if you don't like it.
There was this elimination chamber where they're all like in these little like, you know, cages, and then the timer goes off and one guy comes out periodically. Well, long story short, we had talked about how can you make, you know, sports better. And I think that there's some people that need to go to Paul Levesque, a.k.a. Triple H, the now content creator of the WWE. And he's done nothing but turn that sport around by adding fun storylines. And one of them this weekend was Mr. Face of all time, John Cena, the guy that does make a wish, the guy that's, you know, Captain America, you can't see me, the five knuckle shuffle, the Thugonomics back in the day. Everybody loved John Cena. He's always been a face. Yeah. Never, ever, ever has Cena been a heel. John Cena turned heel this weekend.
And a lot of people were going crazy.
Went
over
nuts.
Yeah.
And you don't even have to watch to get the storyline to know what it is. And obviously, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has brought in this Hollywood Rock, or aka the final boss, and he's just this ass. He doesn't care. Cody Rhodes, who is the face, Dustin Rhodes' son, who was, you know, the old, you know, Dusty Rhodes, and he's now the main face of the organization. And it kind of made me think in this weird mind that I have is like, when and if, or maybe it, I don't think it's happened yet, but when can Mahomes have this movement?
I was going to ask you the follow-up question.
Because Cena, the way they did it, like, so how it happened was he was going to be, you know, facing Cody, and it was the final send-off for Cena. It's his final WrestleMania, the promo that's going crazy with it. And all of a sudden, The Rock does this throat slash, and Cena's face just goes to, like, this evil look, and it's well done. Obviously, both guys are in Hollywood. They know how to act. They're performers. But the thing that was crazy is that this content that was created, everyone that goes to these events knows it's fake. Yes. They're going there for, I mean, unless you're like a kid. But like, they still bleed. They still hurt. They still slam. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, everything is predetermined is what I'm getting at.
Right.
But even that.
So like the NFL script is what you're saying.
But even that wasn't by the reaction to the audience and the reaction to the internet. That wasn't even fathomable. And you ask yourself, can Patrick Mahomes turn heel like that?
Well, it's a great plot twist, Dusty, and I'm not a wrestling guy at all, but how could you not get caught up with what everybody was saying over the weekend about Cena turning heel and all that kind of stuff? And I'll ask you this, because the follow-up is, isn't Mahomes kind of already the heel of the NFL? I know Aaron Rodgers exists, and the reason why I don't say Aaron Rodgers is because he's aging out of the NFL, And so many people were rooting against Patrick Mahomes and took so much schadenfreude in Patrick Mahomes failing in that Super Bowl. I almost feel like he's arrived kind of as the heel of the NFL, which is great. I could be totally wrong about that, but that's kind of my perception from the Super Bowl in New Orleans. And now that he got the short haircut, maybe he's embracing it even more.
I just think that we get into this thing where, like, and we've seen this before, like, Hogan did it at Bash the Beach, and it's one of the greatest, like, heel turns, if not the greatest of all time, where you're like, this is Hollywood Hulk. This is the guy everybody loved. This is, you know, this is him. And then all of a sudden he turns his back and goes to the black and white. And then Cena does this weekend, and I get it. Like, some people are like, everyone already hates Patrick Mahomes. But, like, they don't hate him because of his attitude and, like, of a mean guy sort of way. They just don't like him because he wins.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people didn't necessarily always love John Cena. Like, I know he wasn't a heel, but, like, I didn't like his character. Like, I was never a Cena guy. I was never, like, a CM Punk guy because they weren't Stone Cold. They weren't The Rock, right? Like, some people are like, yeah, they just win, but I don't hate them because they're personality. I hate them because they're just winning. And I think there's a difference when you look at, like, a heel character.
Right.
And if Mahomes comes out here and gets a new haircut and then all of a sudden starts taking jabs, like, oh, well, everybody thought I was a myth and everybody thought this was a fluke. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's got an attitude now. It's not just every game. Yeah, you know, we go out there and have a good game. We try to play and try to, you know, give up to the challenge. Now it's like, oh, I remember they were, because, like, there's been glimpses. There's been the shrug. There's been the counting.
Yeah.
Those are heel tendencies. Yeah. Because then it's like,
and there's also been winning.
Correct.
You know, and when you win, then you automatically become, like, I don't think Jalen Hurts is in that category yet. I don't think anybody, like, Saquon Barkley's clearly not in that category yet as the heel of the NFL. I think if you're looking around the league right now, it's okay to say that Patrick Mahomes is the heel of this league. Maybe a slight nod to Joe Burrow for me, because I don't like the Cincinnati Bengals at all and their fans all suck. But if it were me, that's where I'm going with that. But I could see the entire league having Patrick Mahomes kind of now as the heel. And this is the year now, after suffering that loss in the Super Bowl, getting the haircut and all this kind of stuff, him truly embracing being the heel of the NFL. Right. And that's okay, because I think there's that point in life where we want to be liked and then we don't care anymore. And I think Patrick Mahomes has reached that point where he doesn't care if you like him. I just want to go out there and beat your ass.
Yeah, and I mean, he's had glimpses. And again, some people just, they're not hearing what I'm saying. That's fine. Just enjoy your time off. But, like, the thing is, like, I understand that, like, he did the finger counting early in his career. I understand, like,
it all he's leads done up stuff, to it, though.
But, like, it was a one-time thing, and then it was just not there. Then it's like, oh, now he's, like, a family man. Now he's, you know, continuing to be this guy for the Chiefs. It's like, you know, not New York, not L.A., not these guys.
Right.
But he's still winning, right? Like, right. He's still doing this sort of stuff. And then, you know, somebody brings up a really good point. Like, there was a really good heel move, like, when he did the Jamar Chase, the ring pose, right? Like,
oh, yeah, that was
more
heel.
Of that more often is what I'm saying. Like, yes, like, everybody outside of Kansas City does not like him because he wins.
Right.
Everybody outside of Cincinnati hates Jamar Chase because he's an ass. Like, that's a heel. Jamar Chase is a perfect heel.
But is he big enough to be that heel? You know,
yes, like, is Triple Crown winner, big contract, about to be the most paid, highest paid receiver. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not, and again, somebody's like, well, so you want him to be a POS?
No, that's not
what we're saying.
No.
I'm saying I want him to be a competitive prick on and in the media of the field.
Yeah.
So, like, it would be awesome. Like, it'd just be great. Like, if he came out there, he's like, yeah, you know, today they just weren't better than us. He never says that.
Right, be that
but
guy.
That's,
but
that's
yeah.
a competitive shot. That's not saying, like, yeah, you know, he didn't play well today because, you know, he was up all night, like, fighting with his wife. That's a POS move.
Right.
But the heel move I'd like to see is, you know, that's a really good team over there, and they played us really well, and, you know, we're trying to, you know, keep winning. It's like, no, I want to see, like, yeah, say we were better than them. I was reading all my spots, and I looked at Trav, and I was like, we're going to kick their ass today, and that's what we did.
Right. Be honest. Be Micah Parsons a little bit, but instead of attacking your own team, you attack everybody else. No,
yeah.
I think that's fine if Patrick Mahomes wants to embrace it. He's the guy in the league right now that has the ability to do that because he does have the street cred to back it up. Like, you can't be the heel if you've never experienced success. And there's a lot of guys right now in the NFL that have not experienced the successes that Patrick Mahomes has experienced. Like Joe Burrow, I think people would kind of just roll their eyes. You know, Josh Allen is not a winner. You know, the same thing out in San Diego with that quarterback out there. I mean, you start to look at the Eagles. Jalen Hurts is a nice guy right now. They won their first Super Bowl with Saquon Barkley. People like those guys, just like they liked the Chiefs at the beginning of that dynasty. Nobody hates Brock Purdy. Like, you start to go through the list. Like, yeah, you could say Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. He's not good enough to be the heel. Like, Patrick Mahomes really is the perfect person to be the heel of the NFL. Let's look at every other sport for a second, okay? Mm-hmm. Who's the heel of the NBA? It's LeBron James.
LeBron or Joel?
Yeah, but Joel's hurt now. He's out for it's LeBron. I think LeBron is that guy, and he's arguably the best player in the game, right?
And he did that by going to LA.
Right, exactly.
I think
he kind of did that by going to Miami a little
LA
bit.
LA was kind of the final straw, because it's like, oh, you go to Cleveland, win a title, you're the face, everybody loves you, you went back home and you did it, you came down from 3-1, and you know, you're notoriously known for the block against Steph, and then it's like, I'm going to go to the Los Angeles Lakers. And everyone's like, dude.
Did he go from face to heel to face to heel?
Possibly.
I mean, seriously. I mean, when you think about LeBron, when he was with Cleveland the first time, I have a jersey for LeBron, right? Mm-hmm. Loved it. He went to Miami. I was like, okay, that's cool. Didn't bother me, but I know it bothered a lot of people with the way he did it. And, you know, being charitable and all bothers people. And so he became the heel. And then he goes back to Cleveland, and it was like, oh, you went to a small market, you're winning, it's your team, great.
I'm doing it for the land.
Yeah, right.
And he did it.
And then you're the face. And then you go to L.A., and now you're the heel. So he kind of went from face to heel, face to heel. Who's the heel of Major League Baseball right now?
Soto.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Took the money, stayed in New York, went to the Mets.
Right.
Kind of does that little gimmick in the batter's box, right? Like when he caught that ball against Hunter Renfro in the playoffs on the fence, like kind of looked at the crowd like, shh,
yeah,
like I am that guy. Like that is Soto. Or, I mean, because like you couldn't consider to be Otani.
He's like, not a heel.
Neither is Mahomes. And it's the same thing. The best player in their sport that do freakishly things athletically, like Mahomes did 55,000, Otani did 50 and 50, Otani's interpreter is the heel more than Otani is.
Yeah, everybody loves Otani.
And Otani got a bunch of money that they're not going to pay him until he's 50. The Dodgers are the heel.
Right, the Dodgers are the heel.
An organization can be a heel.
The best organization, the 2025 world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, right?
And like, people will say Dusty Mahomes doesn't embrace it enough, and I get that right now.
Right now he doesn't, but he could.
Because, again,
LeBron did.
John Cena, okay? The internet went nuts, and half those people are like, not even followers of the sport anymore, because unlike me, they've grown up.
Right.
And when you see something like that happen, you're like, holy blank.
The internet was ablaze with everybody in every demographic and every walk of life talking about John Cena turning heel.
And why are they? Because they never thought it would happen. And it did.
Right.
Overnight.
Yeah, which is what Patrick Mahomes could be. I mean, I think Brett Favre kind of became a heel over time in the NFL, you know, like with his antics and stuff. But I think he became a heel not because of his on-field stuff, because of what he did off the field.
And I think this is a great text. I respect this text. What's the line drawn between a D-bag and a heel?
That's a good question.
Like, would say that Chase is a heel and Tyreek is a D-bag. Fair point.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, speeding through traffic could have been a little bit easier.
Tyreek has a lot of the off-the-field stuff that makes him a douche.
He's just not good anymore. I think he'd still be a heel if he had 2,000 yards again.
Tyreek?
Like, wasn't good this season. No one cares.
And if you want perfect example of two guys that are very familiar with each other, face, Justin Jefferson, heel, Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah.
Same position, similar skill set, both very, very good. I would say that's why I would receive wide receiver one, wide receiver two in fantasy football next year. I don't know if I'm wrong about that. I assume those are probably the first two guys that'll be taken at that position, 100%. Probably top five picks on every fantasy roster this next year. But, like, that's where it can be. Both guys came from the same area. Both guys won national championships. Both guys go to the NFL, put up egregious numbers, and one guy takes off as, like, you know what, they got to pay me, as Zach. Called his head coach first name.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if, you know, which I guess he calls him Andy all the time or Coach Reed, but, I mean, what I would love to see.
You hear a lot more Coach Reed than you do Andy from these guys.
So I would love to see like him just kind of lean into this role where it's like, I don't really mean it, but like I'm ready to kind of be the mean guy.
Well, you got to take that next step in your career. You got to constantly reinvent yourself.
Brady did it.
You know? Yeah, Tom Brady became the heel after. Jordan never became the heel, did he?
No.
I don't think he did.
It was before social media.
Yeah. And
he would have been.
There were still heels before social media, obviously, in the organization of what it was. But like, Jordan was just so different because Jordan had
Jordan didn't piss anybody off.
Yeah, and Jordan missing that year, like if he'd have won like six straight, oh God. I mean, they'd have hated him. But
dude,
like,
it would have been eight straight, probably. Eight,
yeah, he missed two seasons.
It would have been eight straight. Like, if you just factor in that they would have won those two years, right, and then continued that train on, they would have won eight in a row.
Right.
We'd be talking about the great. Like, there would never be anybody that would beat that dynasty and break up that dynasty.
Somebody says Fernando Tatis Jr. could be a heel. The way he runs
he's hurt too much, though.
Yeah, but the way he carries himself is very heelish.
He also plays in San Diego, and in baseball, it's hard to be the heel when you play in a smaller market, especially on the West Coast. The Dodgers are the heel, the more I think about it. Like, Blake Snell could be a heel, but he's also a pitcher. It's only one every five days.
Is Crosby the heel in hockey? I mean, if you asked Inspector, he would tell you.
What'd he say? Well, he's also a Capitals fan.
Yeah, go out there and ask him what he thinks about Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, I know. He's awesome. But that's fine. But I don't know if he's a big enough heel for every... I don't know who the heel would be in hockey. The Canadians, probably, at this point, right? For America, based on what we just witnessed.
The way Tatis carries himself is heelish. Like, the way he does the third base, the pause,
but
and then
I
goes
like
through.
That.
Plus, he's been busted for roids.
Yeah.
Blamed a haircut.
Right. Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah. So I went to the barber, got a haircut. Next day, I tested positive. It's like, yeah, huh? I got my hair cut, too.
Yeah, I I've been getting my hair cut by my friend Amanda for 20-some years now. I never got tested positive for steroids after a haircut. Maybe we're doing it wrong. I don't know. Maybe that blue stuff that they put the combs in, you're supposed to drink. Maybe that's what he did.
I don't, yes. Yeah,
pounding Barbicide.
Great Shave America. Yankees have been a heel for 100 years. That's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, Jazz Chisholm, that's a perfect example.
That's a good heel for us,
Yeah, that's like a perfect like pop-up heel.
Yeah.
Right?
Is Hunter Dickinson the heel of college basketball?
No.
No, he's just bad.
I think if I had to pick...
Is it Cooper Flagg?
Got to be.
Has to be, right? Because he's so great. He's got everything going for him.
I mean, he got poked in the eye this week and missed a lot of the game against who they play, Florida State, and... You know, social media is like, oh, let's see if Duke went without Cooper Flagg. They won by 30.
Okay, so.
He ended up coming back.
Is Deion the heel of college football?
No.
Is it that Dominic Raiola?
Might be Bill Belichick.
How about Belichick getting Hard Knocks?
Love it.
Well, that's because nobody
wanted it.
For the first time and for the second time in the same year, the NFL did not want Bill Belichick.
Right.
They didn't want Bill Belichick as a coach, and they didn't want Hard Knocks. They gave him by default.
Bill Belichick's like, you don't want me? I'm putting myself on Hard Knocks.
And what are they going to do? They're going to show every single episode his relationship, and everybody's going to either love his girlfriend or they're gonna be like, she's super annoying. I guarantee you that's where we go on the other side. We can get into some more Debo stuff on the other side. Plus, DK is a zero, and Bob has a hypothetical plus.
I do?
Yeah.
Oh.
Left tackle, wide receiver.
Oh, yes.
I'll let the break play out on 96.5 The Fan. You're home. For Kansas City Sports.
Locked, cocked, and ready to rock.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan.
Banger of a song.
What
baby.
A great song. How do you know this one? This is fantastic.
Don't.
This is like one of my favorite songs of all time.
Really? Tell them,
yeah.
Tell them how this song
OMC,
came to the show today.
OMC, how bizarre, man.
Dusty texted me last night. He's like, dude, jamming out to OMC, how bizarre. Better be on the show tomorrow. And I was like, yeah, I think I know that song. We were cooking, jamming. So I was like, all right, let me play it. I was like, oh, yeah, this song. Yeah, I know this song.
So this is one of those songs, for whatever reason.
The video's amazing.
The video's fantastic.
The video's awesome, yeah.
But I remember driving my dad's Toyota Camry in Jersey, listening to this song and coming down this exit ramp on, like, from Route. It doesn't matter what the highway, but I know exactly where I was.
Yeah, that's cool.
Hearing this song one time, and I've always loved this song. Name their second hit.
No. So when we get into the NFL offseason.
Yeah, no, I mean, if anybody knows, let us know. I'm asking, legitimately asking.
Great song.
It's so good. Yeah.
Lions, snakes, monkeys.
Yep.
Baby. Yeah, you can't like hear this
making
song and
me
be
crazy.
Pissed. Like that guy that had a flat tire, if he got in his car after changing the tire and he started up and this is on, he'd be like, you know what? It's a good Monday.
Yeah, Monday got better, man.
What were you guys cooking, if I can ask?
We made pasta lords, bro.
You are a lord of the pasta.
Is that all you know how to make?
That's just I'm not making anything. I'm just in the kitchen. Being good company.
The Max love pasta.
My wife made three meals for me when I was gone this weekend. You want to talk about somebody who missed somebody? She actually cooked. Came home, a lasagna bake something, some salmon she made. I mean, like, she went all out for me.
What was the pasta? Just like a red sauce and meats?
Oh, I had a. Have you ever had like a ragu? Like really good? Like I don't know. It was like. I'm trying to think of what.
No, but Xavier, what is it? Leggett? He's had raccoon.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I don't think I'd eat that. Yeah. Or squirrel. Do you ever eat squirrel?
No.
I hear they're high in cholesterol.
Mm. I don't know. I don't think I could ever do that. I don't know if I'm into rodents.
No.
I'm
not a huge pasta guy, though. So, but every once in a while, like rigatoni.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we had. Rigatoni, some breaded chicken. It was great.
Mm.
Vodka sauce. It was good.
Yeah, big vodka sauce guy.
It was good. By the way, just breaking news, Lucas Irsig going to have him on 9:15, going to be 9 o'clock. We're going to break a little early here. We're going to get him on a little
closer. That's breaking news. People have been waiting for that one, yes. I got some breaking news. The Chiefs are not interested in DK Metcalf. They are interested in Ronnie Stanley. Stanley, yep. Whatever. And then with Lucas Irsig at 9. So we got it all covered, right?
That's it.
Who's the next receiver to fall? You think Cooper Kupp stays in LA?
He's a name too, man.
You have Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams, and DK Metcalf. Those seem to be the three big names, wide receiver-wise. Because the next quarterback domino is Aaron Rodgers.
What do you think about Devontae on the 49ers?
I'm fine. I mean you need to get weapons.
I think somewhere I saw he's like a 32 or yeah. a 36. I think it's 36.25 cap hit.
For the next 2 years.
Correct.
So $70 million.
Right, depending on what the Jets would, because it's not fully guaranteed. Mm-hmm.
How does that work if the Jets cut Devontae Adams, right? And then the 49ers signed somebody that was cut, you're only on the hook for the league minimum at that, because that's all you're paying the guy, because he's making all his money from the Jets.
I
can't imagine they go get Devontae Adams if they let Debo go.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because Debo is going to be $22 million hit. And again, I think that's just a divorce. I think it just had ran its course in San Francisco, and I think it's just time to move on.
Well, if you look at Debo, he had one incredible season 3 years ago. The rest was like, it's good. He's good. Yeah. He's not amazing. He's good.
He's made a living off of being on a really good team.
Yep.
Right? And that happens to a lot of players in sports. And that's why
he's big, fast, and strong.
But he hasn't ever been that, like, superstar, right?
It was the year they went to the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. Yeah, that was his superstar year.
He had like over 1,500 all-purpose yards, and he was running the football more. It's like, oh, this guy can run, and he can catch. Oh,
was that the first Super Bowl against the Chiefs or the second Super Bowl?
I guess that would have been the second.
The second, so 2 years ago.
But the first year they won it, he was a rookie, I believe, or maybe he was like a second-year player.
Yeah, him and Ayuk were both like so young.
Yeah, and then the second time they played him, Kittle, and Ayuk only had a combined 85 yards total.
Bang.
Then injury. Then this year.
Yeah.
And, now he's in Washington as the first wide receiver domino to fall. Now DK Metcalf's name is out. 0% chance of Kansas City, as we've been told by a source. Credible. Very credible source. And then you have Cooper Kupp.
Because
you had mentioned, like, is Cooper Kupp somebody you would bring to Kansas City? And I was like, well, they're not going to bring in a receiver. I don't think anybody's coming in wide receiver.
Like, I think Hollywood Brown is their number one guy. Like, if
he
wants
the script,
it's perfect. Yeah. It's a perfect fit. But you got to get things worked out with Trey Smith, obviously. And then if you're going to be looking at left tackle, because you know Ronnie Stanley is a guy that is available. And from what I heard this morning, is like they're at left tackle. They need anything they can possibly do to solve that problem. So everybody is an option at left tackle right now.
Look, that's where the leak is in the boat. And last year, the leak in the boat was at the closer position, and the Royals went ahead and figured that out. So we'll get to that guy on the other side. Lucas Irsig will join us live from Arizona on the other side. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5. The Fan is your home for the Kansas City Royals.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.